No more pain, I will rise. house of the Lord. I'm going to let our musician grab a seat if he'd like to, or even sit up here if you want to. Whatever you want to do, brother. You make yourself comfortable. I'll have to pick it, Brother Tony, in case you never noticed. If I ever quit picking, you know something's probably wrong with me. I like to pick. Get over on the other side and say, finally it's over. Like, here I am. I say, God bless you. It is good to be in the house of the Lord, you know. There's no better place to laugh than in church. You say amen?
Amen.
Good place to be happy. I want to talk to you on a thought tonight. Let's read in Hebrews chapter 3, verses 5 through 19. And we're going to speak on rest in the vision. Rest in the vision. Hebrews 3, 5 through 19. Says, and Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. But Christ as a son over his own house, whose house are we, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation, in the day of the temptation in the wilderness. When your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years, wherefore I was grieved with that generation, and said, they do always err in their heart, that they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, therefore, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. While it is said today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in provocation. For some, when they had heard, did provoke, howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? And to whom sware he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believed not? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you so much for this opportunity to be here tonight. Lord, we've already read your word, Lord. Enough word that it could save the whole world, Lord, if they just receive it. Help us tonight, Lord, to receive the message that you have for us tonight. What is it you want to say to us tonight, Lord? We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. You can be seated. A common phrase that we saw in this text is, harden not your hearts. You know, if I was to warn you, hey, if you go to a certain place, there might be a dog here. Well, the reason I'm telling you watch out for a dog is there's probably going to be a dog there, right? And the Lord is telling you, don't harden your hearts. Careful not to harden your hearts. The reason he's saying that is because there is going to be a great opportunity for your heart to become hardened. And so it's very important to take notice of that, is we don't want our heart to become hardened. Now, this was the people that was called out of the bondage of Egypt that we're talking about. This was the church. This was the called out. I want you to just listen to this quote. It says, God come down and he showed them a pillar of fire, showed by his prophets signs and wonders. He was with them. They didn't believe it. Oh, they like to see miracles. They like to hear the prophet. But as far as believing it, they didn't. Their lives proves they didn't. Now he said, don't you fall after that same example of unbelief. For in the last day to the Gentile church, God has appeared again. Same sign, same wonder, same pillar of fire, vindicated and proven. Let us not harden our hearts and fall in that temptation back yonder of unbelief, for we will rot on earth and that will be all of it. And when the Holy Spirit knocks at your heart, after so long a time, when you hear my voice, harden not your heart. Say, child of mine, this is the truth. Don't look at the messenger. Listen to the message. Believe it. Harden not your hearts as in the days of provocation. When you hear his voice, harden not your heart. Then you say, yes, Lord, I believe. Then you enter into life. The Holy Spirit comes into you. Your old spirit dies out. And that makes you lust, hate, malice, and enmity, hatred, and all them things dies away. and you come full of love, joy, peace, resting, no matter how the wind blows. Can you say amen?
Amen.
And that's from Hebrews chapter 4, and it's preached in 1957, if you'd like to go back and listen to that. I'm going to read one more scripture, and we'll get into our text. In Exodus 14, 1 through 4, it says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, that they turn and encamp before Pirath, between Migdol and the sea, and over against Baalzephon. Before it shall you camp by the sea. For Pharaoh will say unto the children of Israel, They are entangled in the land, the wilderness hath shut them off. I will harden Pharaoh's heart, that he shall follow after them. I will be honored upon Pharaoh, upon all his host, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. And they did so." Now, to acknowledge in this scripture, the Lord is the one that told Moses, you go camp right here. And it was a perfect target spot for Pharaoh and his army to attack them and to smother them to nothing. But not only did God tell them, you go here, can you go camp right here, between the sea, between the mountains and the sea. You camp right here, Moses. You take this. Imagine 2 million people. You come over here and camp right here. And then, why, after God told him to camp there, the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart and had Pharaoh come against him.
Right.
So see, it was God that will lead you sometimes to do something. And then when you take that step forward, the enemy will come in like a flood. But if you look further into Scripture, the Lord says, the reason he's doing this is because he will be honored over Pharaoh and his army and all that they have. Pharaoh got his greatest chariots. He didn't get just plain chariots. He got his greatest chariots, his greatest men, because they were going to smother the children of Israel. Remember, the children of Israel was the top of the church. They were the called out. They were following a vision. A prophet had heard a message. He was a seer. He had a vision of how these people could be free. It's a wonderful thing to think about being free, and you don't really know how to understand that as much until you're really bound.
Right.
Now, this was a people that were bound, and it was prophesied that they would be bound. And so they were under the bondage of Pharaoh, and God, through his mercy, sent a prophet, sent a message, sent a vision for the people, and all they had to do was rest in that vision of saying, you know what, I have been praying for God to set me free. I have been praying while in the mud pits, somebody beating me on the back, somebody beating my wife on the back, so to speak, somebody beating my children because they were slaves. This was a terrible, terrible thing. And in the midst of these people being in this bondage, there was a sigh and there was a cry. God, I just want to be free. You know, that's something about it. When somebody is bound by something and they want to be free, they say, I don't want to do these things anymore. I don't want to serve Pharaoh anymore. I don't want to serve the world anymore. But see, this was a bondage. God sent a prophet. God sent a vision to set the people free. And they didn't want to go free at first. You know, they fought against him every step of the way. And even though they saw miracle after miracle after miracle of how God would deliver them, he would send the fleas, he'd send the fire, he'd send all the frogs. He sent all these things, and every time a problem rose up, they were ready to quit and throw in the towel.
Yeah.
I want you to remember something. Anytime you start to take a step to the Lord, many times the Lord will say, you go do this. And then right after you do that, the enemy will come, and a lot of times it is the Lord has hardened the heart of your enemy.
Yeah.
And the reason is because God will get honored when you defeat that trial. Say amen.
Yeah.
I love that. The children of Israel had already seen miracle after miracle after miracle. Let's go to one more scripture in Habakkuk chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower and watch to see what he will say unto me and what I shall answer when I am reproved. And the Lord answered me and said, I write the vision and make it plain upon tables that he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for a point of time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it shall surely come. It will not tarry. Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. Live by what?
Faith.
Brother and sister, to be a Christian, you must walk by faith. This world will try to get you to walk with your intellects, of using your intellect wisdom, and it takes you further and further away from God.
Yeah.
Because you're trying to reason it out. Imagine the man with the withered hand, where Jesus said, stretch forth thy hand, and the man stretched forth his hand, and the Lord made him whole. Where's the science in that? You know, if you were to look at the science of that, it makes no sense. Well, he needs to go to the doctor. He needs to do this. He needs to probably get the arm cut off so it don't affect the rest of the body. But see, it's by faith. To be a Christian is by faith. And any time God has brought healing through this man and stretching forth your hand, it was faith. Stretch forth thy hand. Why didn't he bring forth the other hand? You ever think of that? Why don't you just show your good hand? A lot of times we have a tendency, we want to show our good parts, but we hold the bad parts behind. And we take it home with us. And you'll carry the bad parts all the time. And you don't have to, because the Lord said, stretch forth your hand. You know, that is the power that you have when you come to church, because we have a vision. We're talking about resting in the vision. When you will come to church and you hold the bad parts before the Lord and say, Lord, I am battling these things. Get me free from these things, Lord. The vision will not lie. He will set you free, brother and sister. He will heal your body. He's already healed you. It may take a little while, but it will happen. You must rest in the vision, not rest in how I feel, not rest in how I look. I am healed. His word says I'm healed. I am saved. His word says I was saved before the foundation of the world. It's a vision, and we must rest in that vision. That vision does not, you're not saved because you never make a mistake. You're saved because the Lamb was slain before the foundation of the world.
Yeah.
And you must rest in that vision, because that will not change.
That
will not change. He was already slain. He not only was slain, he was slain for you.
Right.
Amen. The prophet can only say what the Lord shows him. That's all he can do. A prophet's a seer. The Lord gives him a word. That is all he can do, is say the word. And it is not up to the prophet or the people to make provisions to make this vision take place. And I can say this. All the preacher can do is speak the word. The same way a prophet, there's a word, he just speaks the word, and it's up to God to fulfill that word. And so whenever I preach to you, or Brother Tony preached to you, that you were, by his stripes, you were healed. It's not up to us to make you healed.
Right.
It's up to us to speak the vision. Right. Speak the word.
Amen.
And whenever you speak the word, God will honor his own word. We don't have to go back behind him and try to pump it up or make it work. All we got to do is speak the word.
Amen.
And these children of Israel, that's all they got to do, brother and sister, is speak the word.
Yeah.
But instead, they were always looking back. They were always wanting to quit. Why? Their hearts were become hardened.
Yeah.
Imagine a people. God was taking care of their shoes. God was giving them their food that they need. God was meeting all their needs. And you think they would be soft. Oh, my God is so good to me. God provides for me. God meets all my needs. But instead, they were hardened. Brother and sister, may we humble ourselves. Think of this. As I said, the prophet, all he's responsible for doing is speak the word, speak the vision that God gave, and God has to take care of the rest.
Right.
You realize how much food it would take to feed 2 million people? You realize how much water it would take, how much resources it would take to feed 2 million people? It's not up to Moses to come up with the food.
Right.
It's not up to Moses to come up with the water. Moses has one responsibility. Speak the word.
Yeah.
And that's the way it is with a ministry. The ministry can look and say, we got to get a bride ready for a rapture. We've got to get somebody ready, and
and God will feed you. God will clothe you. God will heal you. God will meet your needs. How? By speaking the word, brother and sister. There is power by speaking the word. I am a son of God. And whenever you feel sick, I am healed. And you rest in that vision. You rest in it. I am healed. Not because I feel like I'm healed. The word says I'm healed, and I am healed. And he is the intercessor of your profession. When my children, I start feeling like they're falling away, I speak the word. I say, I speak the blood of Jesus towards my children. And I rest in that. And even though they get discouraged, I say, I speak the word. I have a token. Whenever we take the word and we apply it to our lives, we can have a token where God will honor that token. Speak the word. Say amen. I've been doing it for my mom. Lord, I speak the word for my mom. I speak the word for my brothers. I speak the word. There's power in speaking the word.
Amen.
But the problem is, a lot of times we speak the words the wrong way. And God will honor that. Amen. Mm-hmm. All the prophet is responsible for is to speak the word, and the people were to follow that voice. It wasn't Moses' responsibility to provide the food. It wasn't his responsibility to provide the water. Moses, he was just a God-called prophet. And once you catch this, he didn't just decide, I think God will deliver God's people. It was a calling and it was an orchestration that God did. And this is what I want to show here. We can't just stumble aimlessly into a new birth. We can't just stumble aimlessly of say, well, it just happened. There's things that you can do to put yourself forth in the presence of the Lord to where there can be growth. As Brother Tony's mentioned many times, it starts out with a little button, the size of a button that comes inside your heart. And the Lord will send the tutor, the Holy Ghost, the tutor will come down and he will speak to you, lift a ear. And think about the tutor is he will get eyeball to eyeball level with you. He's not going to try to teach you something that's way above your head. The Lord will deal with you, and the more sincere and the more soft you can become towards that tutor of the Holy Spirit, the more he can help you.
Mm-hmm.
Could you imagine having a tutor and you bucking against him every time, a math tutor? Like, I don't want to do it. You can make this hard or easy. We're going to do this. The tutor, talking about the math tutor. And the Holy Spirit is the same way. If your name's written on that Lamb's Book of Life, and I believe it was, how many of you believe your name is written on the Lamb's Book of Life? Let me tell you something. That's a vision, brother and sister.
Mm-hmm.
Rest in that.
Amen.
Your name's written on the Lamb's Book of Life. The Lord is not going to lose you.
Right.
He's going to do what he's got to do to get your attention. But the more you can the more you can walk with that Spirit in gentleness with that Spirit when he's talking to you, when he's dealing with you. Now, I'm just dealing with you just as people, okay?
Mm-hmm.
The more you can allow leadership to come into your life, the more you can allow it to come, you'll find out the easier it will become for you to follow. But if you buck against it every time leadership tries to come towards you to try to help you, it starts out small, and eventually, as I talked about the young ruler last time we were in service, it started out small, and eventually he becomes so stingy that he didn't want to even help. He wanted to let man starve to death. In the same sense, brother and sister, we must humble ourselves and say, Lord, I desire your leadership. I desire your friendship. I'm going to tell you how the Holy Spirit will come to you. And I'm sure you know what I'm talking about. I like to fly fish. I ain't no good at it, but I like to do it. I even got a pole. But I'll be out there by the water, and I'll be doing my fly fishing. And all of a sudden, I'll feel a warm air just come right over me. Or sometimes it'll be a cool air that will come right across the stream, right over me. And that is just like the presence of the Lord. You may be fly fishing. You may be pumping gas. You may be pecking on your piano. But here he comes. The Holy Spirit will drop down into the room, right into your midst. And you will know it's him. How do you know? Because my sheep know my voice. It's a spirit that comes down, and it's, he said, but that's not words, but to you it is, because you know he's here. And brother and sister, that is where it is whenever you feel that thing come down, that presence come down, that is the Lord. Acknowledge that and say, Lord, I do not want to harden my heart. What is it you want me to see? What is it that you're trying to tell me? Brother and sister, there's so many times when that presence will come down and you will go get your Bible and say, Lord, I want to speak to you. I want to talk to you. I want to reverence this moment. The Lord will come down and he will open scriptures up to you that you've never seen before. Then you will open new depths. You'll open, brother and sister, that presence of the Lord. And whenever you feel that presence come down, be instant to respond to that. Yeah. And say, Lord, help me. Because listen, the enemy will try so hard to harden your heart to where when that comes, you're too busy. You'll feel that. You'll feel that presence come down. You'll say, I'll go do it here in just a moment. And next thing you know, when that moment comes, you go, he ain't there. Is that true? Brother and sister, that is where it is. I'm talking about good Christian living where you can rest in the vision, is where you can rest when that spirit comes down and he comes eyeball to eyeball level to you. That's whenever you do that. That's when you can take your Bible. That's whenever you can get on your knees, and that's whenever you can pray with that, and you will begin to see things move in your life that you've never seen move before. Because, see, if you try to take just the Bible by itself and you're just reading the Bible, and you could be doing it diligently, the Pharisees and Sadducees, you probably not find anybody more diligent that read the law. I'm talking they were top of the line. The Apostle Paul, he was the Pharisee of the Pharisees. He was more intellectual than anybody. But whenever he would try to study the letter, guess what he was doing? He was going out and killing Christians. This man was not trying to be a bad person. This man was a man that was studying the law. He wanted to do it right, and he thought he was doing God a service. How in the world can somebody get that far off base? Killing somebody? Not just killing somebody, killing Christians? And think you're doing God a service? All the while reading the Bible, so to speak. See, that's why it takes the Spirit of the Lord to come down. Because you realize, God is not a God that can be figured out. Now, you figure certain little things out, like a bumblebee of how he'll put a hole in a piece of wood and how the Lord he does it, who knows? You know, a hummingbird can go backwards and forwards. Mathematically or scientifically, it should be impossible. But he doesn't. You can look at creation and you can see pieces of God inside that. But when it comes to the depths of the Word, you will never figure it out with your mind. God will not, he will hide it from you. But God wants to reveal himself to you. God wants to, forgive me the rude expression, he wants to unrobe himself. The Word. He wants to open his Word. He wants to reveal himself to you. But he's not going to do it if you're that's where I mentioned the other day, the word of God, the two-edged sword, it will discern the very intents of your heart. There is an intent of your heart, and the Lord knows the intent of your heart. He knew the intent of Nicodemus' heart. When Nicodemus come to him, he knew his heart. He knew, what was his name? Simon. He knew Simon's intent of his heart. He said, Jesus, come to my house. Come to our house. Jesus will come to where he is welcome. Right. He said, come to my house, Jesus. And then when he came, what did he do? They put him in a corner somewhere. They never washed his feet. They never acknowledged him. They just put him there. And the whole time they were talking religious. But Jesus will come. The point I'm trying to get is Jesus knows the intent of the heart. Jesus knows the intent of their heart was not to worship him. Jesus knows the intent of heart when somebody asks you a Bible question because they don't really want an answer. They just want to argue with you. He knows the intent of the heart. And Jesus knows your intent of your heart when you said, I really just want to serve God. I want to be real. God sees the intent of your heart. Could you imagine me? We're playing pickleball the other day. And Dylan has passed the test in my book that he can be a coach. Why, you ask? I'll be glad to tell you. He's the most patient person I've ever seen. Because he'd say, Dad, stand like this. And the side of your foot, wherever you want that ball to go, put your foot in that direction. Oh, okay, yeah, I got it. And every time I would knock it the wrong direction, and he never said, that is not what I said. I said, put your foot wherever the... He never did that. He was very patient. He said, oh, that's good, Dad. That's good. Oh. He was gentle. He was patient. Because he knew the intent of my heart. I am not here to waste anyone's time. I want to learn how to play pickleball. I bought a paddleboard. I think that's the wrong word, but you know. He knew the intent of my heart. My purpose of being here is not because I'm trying to waste anyone. I want to play this because I want to enjoy your fellowship. And brother and sister, God is just like that. The reason you are here tonight in church, the reason that the folks are streaming tonight, is the intent of your heart is I want to be a better Christian. Amen. The intent of your heart is I want to serve God. I want to honor God. God sees your heart. God sees the intent of your heart. Now, there's still things you can do to correct things, because if you keep doing the same thing over and over again, you're never mature. But God, remember, God sees the intent of your heart. I got a quote I want to get to, and I'm not even past, if I was using the paper like Brother Tony does, I'm like the first page still. Maybe I should do papers, brother. It'd probably keep me on track better. I want to read this quote to you. The Lord wants the people to rest in the vision. Now listen to this quote. Try to pay attention as best you can. This is out of the Message of Perfection. He says, now this great chain of perfection was broken by time space. Time came because of sin. Let's draw a picture of time. Let's see a perfect circle. Forever, forever. And then all of it once, sin dropped in and put a little, as my wife calls it, a little hickey. Or a little drop in the chain. So it comes down now, eternity continues on, but it's not in its perfect condition. There's a little gap comes down, breaks over this way, goes out this way. God had to do that because Satan caused it. And it dropped down to a space of time for the trying and the perfecting and for the purging of the lost. I'll read that again. Catch this. And it dropped down to a space of time for the trying and the perfecting and the purging of the lost. That God, by his sovereign grace, might someday lift that little hickey or gap back into the perfect circle, and then she rose on just the same. You see it? Time. Now, time is this little loop. It loops down. Jesus was from eternity to eternity, but he stepped into the time space and was made flesh and come through here in order to sanctify or put a streak of blood all across this place to redeem it and connect it back with God again for all eternity. You see it? That's all time is. Then God, when it started here at the end of the little kink in the perfect circle, that made it a little kink in it. When God started there, he was perfect. Everything he said was perfect. Everything he did, does, is perfect. So then the Bible said that Christ, Jesus was the lamb slain from the beginning of the little king, the beginning of the world. Christ was slain at the beginning. Now, he really wasn't slain until 4,000 years later. But the reason he was slain then, because in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. You see it, Brother Egan? What I mean? See, he was God in the beginning. Now, Satan he did not create this loop, this little hickey. He did not create that.
Satan cannot create. Satan can only pervert what God has created.
And the best illustration I know to do to illustrate this is a light bulb. You got this big circle, and you got this little bitty hickey on the bottom. And this is eternity, and this is time. And that's where we're at right now. We're in time. And the reason that we are in time is for God to try you, God to perfect you, and God to purge you. Because whenever God gets us all redeemed, he's going to take that little kink and he's going to pop it right back up, and it's going to be a perfect circle all over again. I know this sounds so simple, but if you'll grab a hold to it, I believe it would really help you. Mm-hmm. To remember the trial, when you go through a trial, when you're going through a battle, it's just a little bit of time. This trial that I'm in right now is not the way it's always going to be. And it's real easy whenever you're in the middle of the grind and you're fighting and you're trying so hard, you feel like this is all life is. No, it's not. I started to bring a picture with me that I put on my story the other day. It showed a tree that someone had cut. And you can see in this big old log, there was a big portion, probably about this big, that was rough years. You could tell that tree went through some serious droughts. You could tell that it really went through some really, really hard times. But you look around that tree, and it was life, 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 life. Mm-hmm. And that's what we've got to remember, is the trial you're going through is just temporary. Mm-hmm. Because there's going to be more life, there's going to be more happiness, there's going to be more joy. Because I am just here for a purpose. I come from eternity, I'm going back to eternity. I'm just in this trial right now. The reason we are here is for to come to perfection. Amen. The Lord's work to come be perfected in us. Amen. The Lord's vision to be perfected in us. And this is my message. I'm going to leave with you. Rest in the vision that it's not you that started your walk here for the Lord. It is not you that started it. It wasn't me that started it. No. God started your walk. God's the one that called you. God's the one that deals with you. You may mess up tomorrow. You might have messed up today. And you watch. I said this to a lady yesterday morning. I came in. I always like to smile a lot, you know. People say, why you always smile? Wouldn't you rather walk around frowning, you know? Well, they do to give me a hard time. I come to smile. And she says, why you always smile? I said, because his mercies are new every morning. It don't matter how much you messed up yesterday. You might have just messed up everything you worked on. Today's a new day. Today's the first of months. And that's the way it is when you come to the Lord. And you say, Lord, I want to be right with you. I want this, let this one leave with you. When you go to pray to the Lord, I want you to remember this. The Lord knows the intent of your heart. Amen. Amen. That's all. Awesome. As I mentioned last time, Paul said, that I wouldn't do, I don't do. That I wouldn't do, that I do. You know? But the Lord knows the intent. Let's all bow our head. Anybody did like to join in prayer, just lift your hand to him. Heavenly Father, we love you tonight. I know it was a simple message tonight, Lord, but I pray that your people got something from it, Lord. I believe that I've said what you told me when I was on the kayak the other day, or on the pontoon the other day, Lord, and you dropped down, just as I mentioned earlier, Lord, the way a cool breeze would come or a warm breeze would just come over you, and how you come down. And I just love it when you do that, Lord. Because it's something I can talk to somebody here, I can talk to somebody in Honduras, Mexico. It's the same thing. It's the way you talk to your people. And Lord, I believe I've told them from my heart, Lord, what you want them to see is you are looking at the intents of their hearts. When they're saying, I just want to be real. I want to be a real Christian. I want to be a real example of a Christian, the example of the believer today. Lord, you see the hands that went up across the building tonight. I ask you, Lord, you'd go to each one of those hands. Those in the homes, Lord, may you touch their hearts tonight, Lord. And Lord, may we, our hearts not become hardened as in the times of provocation, Lord. But Lord Jesus, may we humble ourselves before you and say, Lord, help us to be thankful. Help us to be so grateful for everything you've done for us and all that we have. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name. The Lord knows the intent of your heart. Amen. And remember,
go to read your Bible, the Lord knows the intent of your heart. Lord, the reason I want to know this word is because I really want to know you. And imagine how you would feel if somebody you love very much come to you in that way. How much would you be willing to be there for them? God is 10 times more than that.
You know, everything that God did throughout the whole entire history has come right down to this hour that we're in right now. Everything that he desired to put into his bride is available for us now. And so, you know, when we talk about masterpiece bride, that's what we are. That's what he's designed for us to be. But, you know, anytime you go to do something for the Lord, you can count on being tested and tried. No question about that. Brother Graham said God likes to do that. And of course, he has to do that to mold character in you. And so you'll be tested and tried anytime you want to do something for the Lord. But you have to walk by faith, as Brother Daniel said. We walk by faith based upon the promises of God, not based upon anything that anybody else says. It's not based upon your successes or failures. Just like Brother Graham's form letter he sent out with his handkerchiefs. Says right there not to even be concerned with whether or not you have faith or not. But the promise of God is what you want to have faith in. And so it's based upon that and not what you've done. Brother Rem said this the other day. He said, if I have to do one thing, then Jesus Christ died in vain. To save yourself, to save you, if you have to do anything to be saved, then Jesus Christ died in vain. What you have to do is just accept it. That's it. And so, but there is a life that goes behind that. And that's what the Holy Spirit is here to do, to live that through you and empower you, give you power to live and be what you couldn't be by yourself. Like you said the other day when we were reading, give you the Holy Ghost and be powers, and then you'd be a witness into all the world. And so, as Brother Daniel was talking about speaking the word, that's what Brother Bram was saying in here. Just make your confession, because he is the high priest of your profession. He must intercede on what you confess that's in agreement with his word. That's why I say, just say, Lord, I thank you for healing me of this, or I thank you. And so Brother Daniel's right when you say, Lord, you know, the blood of Jesus Christ, I claim them. I speak the word over them. Yes. And it's you know, it's because it's a promise in God's word. Speak the word. And back to not thinking it yourself, what you do, it's based upon what God has done, his promise. And that's typed out in the scripture where when the children of Israel were thirsty, and God said, go smite this rock. I mean, knows the New Testament says that rock was Christ. Yeah. That was Jesus Christ in a physical form, a type. And he said, go smite that rock. And so Moses went over and smote it, and the waters came out. Like the Holy Spirit is living waters, right, coming out of you. And so, but then a little bit later, the children of Israel got into another situation, and God told Moses to go over there and not smite it, but speak to it. Yeah. If you look at the typology there, Jesus was smitten for your sins, right? Then after that, he doesn't have to be smitten again.
Right.
You just talk to him. Speak the word. Right, draw upon those promises that he has given, and just stay with those things that he said. So, Brother Bram said, God takes you at your word. So it would behoove us to make sure that our confession is positive. And you know, I've heard it said, you know, don't, if the doctor tells you you got cancer, don't you say you've got it. And you might think that's piddly or petty or whatever, but God takes you at your word, and if you can direct your faith to any promise in this Bible, God will bring it to pass in your life. And that's hard to do sometimes when you're in the thick of the battle, but it's a promise that holds true. And so you've got to take the ground that God has given you. Right? Brother Bam said you can't help that chicken pick its way out. And so that's our walk. We have to pick our way out. We have to take the ground that has been given to us. Look at the times and shadows. They had to go and possess the land that God had given them. So I'll end this by saying what Brother David was saying about the Holy Spirit. He is a person. You know, the scripture says, grieve not the Holy Spirit. You can grieve him. Right? That's why it's in there. He is a person. You can grieve him. You can, I'll say it this way, you can hurt his feelings. Right? You can do that. And, you know, a lot of times the disconnect between you and the Lord, or between us and the Lord, is us. It's not him. He's not the one that did it, but it's our own failure, our own convictions, our own dealing with it ourselves that makes it so hard, makes us feel so far from him. He's not that far. He's just right there. But that fellowship is broken. And so he is a person. And he does just like Brother Daniel said. Be coming, walking along, and here he comes. And it just brings tears to my eyes.
Absolutely.
Say, Lord, why me? Why would you come to me? But that's what he does, just like the wind. Comes and goes. And so God wants you to have that experience.
Yes.
Right? He wants you to have an experience where you know him. And you have fellowship with him in a way that he can lead you and he can guide you and he can quicken this word to you and be a companion to you all of your life. Amen. And so we just appreciate what Brother Daniel had to say tonight. Amen. I think of a song to sing here just for a moment. Say, I love him. Burn.